Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning. Man, I'm glad you guys are here. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you. Thanks for joining us in the room. Thank you for joining us online. Continuing our series today. Before we get started, I want to make a quick just kind of announcement disclaimer. Some of you are aware of this, and if not, you're going to realize it during our service today. My wife, Danielle, had some surgery on Tuesday. She's doing great. She's recovering well. Thank you. She's watching online. Hey, babe. And she won't be here for probably a few weeks. And so with it being a series on marriage, I just felt like I needed to disclose why my wife wasn't here. You know, just figured. At some point, you're going to be like, wait a minute. He's teaching on marriage, and she didn't show up. Huh. So all is great. She's recovering well. And so that's why my laugh track is not going to be on the front row. If you attend our church regularly, my wife is the loudest laugher. So if you want to help me out for the next few weeks, just laugh. Even if it's not funny, just go with me, okay? So, all right, I want to do something this morning as we get started. I want you to imagine if you're married, if you have kids, if you're with your family, if not, if you're with your friends, I want you to imagine that you have like a favorite restaurant, okay? This is a place you go all the time, so much so that they know you. The wait staff knows you, chef knows you. Most of the time when you go, like you get your table, and when you don't get your table, kind of like when you don't get your seat, you kind of pout about it a little bit, but nothing. You guys take your seats here real seriously, don't you? You're like, don't mess with my seat. All right. So anyway, you go to this restaurant all the time, and like so much so, they don't even ask you what you want anymore. They just bring your drinks out. They go ahead and bring the appetizers out. You go there all the time. And so I want you to imagine that you go, it's Thursday night, Friday night, you're real excited to go, and you get there, your table's available, so you're like, yes. You sit down, they bring your appetizers out already, they bring some bread, they bring your drinks out that you want. And before you take your order, because like normally you get the usual, the chef's real excited because he's like, hey, guys, before you order, I want you to know our chef's working on something special tonight. She's running a special. And if any of you guys would like to try it, I think you really love it. Rest of your family, rest of your friends, they all kind of want what they want, but you're intrigued by the special. And you're like, well, you know what, tell me a little bit about the special. And it's a cheeseburger. Like it's a gourmet cheeseburger. And you're like, well, I didn't really plan to have a cheeseburger. Tonight's a little heavy, but tell me about the cheeseburger. And it turns out that the chef, you know, it's her special blend. She actually had the meat mix herself, and it's got three different kind of cheeses on it, and it's got an aioli on it. You don't know what aioli means, but it sounds cool. And so you're like, yeah, man, give me. You don't. You've heard it on the cooking channel. You don't know what it means. And so anyway, you're like, yeah, man, give me the cheeseburger. And you're super excited about the cheeseburger. And so 10, 15 minutes goes by. Food comes to the table. Yours comes last. And they set it down. And you're very confused because there's this beautiful bun, this beautiful cheese, all these beautiful toppings, but there's no burger. There's no meat. And so you get real excited because you have a chance to make the joke you've been waiting for 30 years to make. You call the waiter over with a glimmer in your eye, and you say, hey, where's the beef? You're my people. You're my people. And your kids just roll their eyes. They're like, oh, gosh, Dad. And after you stop laughing, no one else is laughing. The waiter goes, oh, well, see, because you've been coming so long and because our chef knows you so well, our chef kind of views you as family. And see, she's running out of meat. And she thought it would be cool if tonight it was BYOB, bring your own burger. She figured, you know, she needs it. You could probably run out and grab a burger. So she thought you could just supply the burger tonight. Now pause. Obviously, that wouldn't happen. Obviously, we would not go to that restaurant. Obviously, chefs can't expect their customers to bring their own food to the restaurant. Chefs can't expect their customers to supply what they need, to supply what they don't have. That's the chef's job, to supply everything they need to run a fully functioning restaurant. So clear when it comes to a restaurant. But so confusing, so daunting, such a miss when it comes to marriage. So we started talking about last week is that I am convinced the single biggest issue in marriages, the number one reason for divorce, is because we think like that chef. And when it comes to marriage, anything we're missing, anything we need, we expect our spouse to supply it. And unfortunately, we have about as much success, excuse me, as the chef expecting us to bring our own burger. And if you're here last week, that's really what we talked about. And if you weren't, I'm going to encourage you, if you don't have it already, grab our app. It's a great way to stay connected to us. And also, we put all our content there. And so if you did miss last week, you can go back and you can catch up. Because more than most series, this series really is going to build on each other. You're going to need weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4 to get the full picture of what I believe God wants to do over the next few weeks. But we did settle on a basic truth about marriage. It's really about all relationships, but this is a series about marriage. And so it's true about marriage. And that's where we left it last week. The truth is this, is that completeness is something we bring to, not expect from, our marriage. Completeness, wholeness, is a thing we're supposed to bring to it, not hold our spouses accountable for making us feel safe and secure and whole. We're supposed to bring that to our marriages. And so last week, I challenged you, if you were here, to begin praying a prayer. And I hope you did. And this was the prayer. Hey, Jesus, make me whole so that I can bring my whole self to my marriage. It's a complete shift in thinking. It's a shift of what we're taught in culture. It's a shift of what movies have taught us. It's a shift of what love songs have taught us. Man, if you listen to love songs with this in mind, you are like, y'all some broken people. You know, I can't live without you. But, well, you should work on that. Just a thought. Why don't you become a whole person and then you won't feel this way? So last week, that's kind of where I left you, right? I was like, hey, go pray. And I said, hey, we'll pick back up that exact point this week. And we're going to pick up with this question. Okay, how do I become a whole person? How do I do it? How do I become the person that Jesus wants me to be? How do I do it? To answer that question, I want to take you to, eventually we're going to turn to Jesus. But first, I read a bunch of books as I was getting ready for this series. And a book I read that I highly, highly, highly recommend is a book. It's called Boundaries in Marriage. Maybe you've heard of the Boundaries series written by Henry Cloud, John Townsend. These guys are literally, they're world-class psychologists. They're also Christians. They're leaders, and they speak. And they wrote a pretty transformational book just called Boundaries in General. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But then they wrote one about marriage, Boundaries in Marriage. And they're actually where I got the idea we talked about last week. Because here's what they say in their book. They say, we will look first at the prerequisite of two becoming one. That's what we talked about last week. This prerequisite is that for two to become one, we must have two at the outset. We must have two complete individuals. So Paul said it. Jesus says it. And now two world-class psychologists who study this for a living say, oh, yeah, absolutely, they're right. Yeah, yeah, two can't become one unless you have two complete, two whole people. It's the only way it's going to work. And luckily for us, they go the next step. They define it. They say, okay, if we want to be two complete people, what does completeness look like? Here's what they say. A complete person is able to do all the things that adult life and relationship requires. Give love and receive love. Be independent and self-sufficient. Live out values honestly. Be responsible. Have self-confidence. Deal with problems and failures. Live out their talents. And have a life. Their own life. I know that last one is kind of feels like a little sideways, doesn't it? Like, get a life, people. I'm like, hey, they're a psychologist. I'm not. I'm just reading what they wrote. Email them, not me. But let me put this together for all of us as we begin today, all right? So a whole person, according to these experts, these world-class trained psychologists who study this for a living, who are also rooting everything they say in God's truth and God's word, they're believers, and they use God's truth constantly to inform what they write. There's kind of like this perfect meld of like what science can teach us and what God tells us is true, because little side note, they always go together. We don't have to be afraid of science. All science does is prove what God says is true. Anyway, that's a different sermon for a different day. A whole person are these things. A whole person, according to these people and to Jesus, loving, self-sufficient, honest, responsible, confident, and resilient. That is quite the list. I'll be honest with you, I am a little intimidated by that list. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. But how many of you knew you were supposed to bring that to marriage? I did not. So I will admit it for you. Because here's what the book is saying, and here's what Jesus was trying to teach us last week, and here's what Jesus is going to be teaching us for the next few weeks, is this: your spouse cannot be loving enough for you. They can't. They can't love you enough to teach you how to receive love. They can't love you enough to teach you how to give love. They can't make you self-sufficient. They can't make you honest. They certainly can't make you responsible. They can't make you confident. You know how many years my wife and I fought because I thought it was her job to solve my insecurity? That was on me. And they can't make you resilient. They can't do that for you. That is up to you. And as we're going to see over the rest of the series, you and Jesus. Now I want you to just think for a minute. Just look at this list, and I want you to think back to not like the silly fight you had last week, but think back to like the fight or the couple of fights that you have been having for as long as you've been married. You all have those, right? You all have the fights where it's like you get in the arena, you both press play, and you just say the same stuff you've been saying for a decade. Don't lie. Don't lie. You're not better than me. You're like, I've only been married 3 months. We don't do that yet. Just wait. I want you to think about those fights. I want you to think about those issues. And I want you to look at that list. I bet you're fighting about those things. I bet you're fighting because you want them to bring what it was your job to supply. And I know in my life, as I've embraced this truth and as I've been learning this, I know what I bring to those moments is better than what I used to bring to it. Because there's actually something I'm bringing to. I'm not expecting from. So how do we do this? How do we get to the place where we can show up in our lives loving and self-sufficient and honest and responsible and confident and resilient? How do we do that? Well, good news. That's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the series. We have today, we have 2 more weeks. And my goal over the next few weeks is to get us to a place where we can at least begin to do this in our own lives. And I'll go ahead and tell you right at the top, I know we're in church, so this probably isn't surprising to you. I don't believe it's possible without Jesus. I just don't. He really is the answer to this. Because when I look at that list, I feel overwhelmed by that list. You may feel overwhelmed by that list. That's why we need a Savior. Here's the other thing we need with that list. We need grace. Because we won't always get it right. We always won't bring it as best as we can. And Jesus can supply that grace. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to go ahead and tell you this before we really dive in. I want to do my best for the next 24 minutes to present to you a concept from Jesus that has changed my life. It's changed my marriage. Which is going to require for the rest of our time today, it's going to be pretty content heavy. Because I want to put the whole concept out in front of you. Okay? And then we're going to end today almost, remember when you were a kid and you'd watch a TV show and you could tell at some point they're not going to finish this. They're not going to finish. And then it would pull up to be continued. And it'd be like, come back next week. And you're like, oh, no. Well, good news and bad news. Today's kind of a to be continued message. You can just come back next week. And it's because, again, I want to get the whole concept out. And then we're going to spend 2 weeks learning how to apply it in our lives. So if you'll stick with us for the next few weeks, I truly believe God's Holy Spirit will change your life, will change your heart, and if you let him, will change your marriage. So let's get back to our question for today. How do I become a whole person? How do I do this? Not how does my spouse do this? Not how do my kids do this? Not how do my parents do this? How do I? How do I become a whole person? There's three steps. Step one, you're probably not going to be surprised by. Follow Jesus. Again, I know we're in church, so it doesn't sound surprising to you, but I'm telling you, the greatest choice you can make in life for yourself, for your friends, for your family, for your spouse, for your children, for your career is to wholeheartedly, with everything you have, surrender your life to your Savior. To decide, he is smarter than me, he knows better than I do, what he says goes, Jesus, I trust you. And it's not just my idea. One day when Jesus was on earth during his 3-year ministry, some religious leaders came to him, and they were actually trying to trick him. And they said, hey, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? What's the most important thing we do in life? What matters more than anything else? Without hesitation. Here was Jesus' response. He replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. He's like, simple. You want to know? Love God with all your heart. Trust God. Follow God. So if he says it's the most important thing we can do, clearly it's going to be a step in our journey to become whole people, to become healthy people. The healthiest choice we could make is to choose to love God and to follow his son with everything we have. They asked Jesus for one, but he wasn't done. He then adds a second. He says a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he says, hey, I know you guys only asked for one, but I'm in charge of the universe and you're not, so I'm going to answer how I want to answer. Love God, love people. And then he says this, watch this. He says, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you get these two right, everything else takes care of itself. Love God, love people as you love yourself. So for our context today, if we want to become whole people and we want to follow Jesus, he's saying, you want to become a whole person, you want to follow Jesus, you want to embrace life, you want to make sure you've checked every box and you are on the right direction, love Jesus and love in our case, we're talking about marriage, your spouse, as you love yourself. That's the list. Now, folks, I will tell you, I have read this passage definitely hundreds, probably thousands of times. It's a pretty crucial text. But it wasn't until I was preparing for this series with the concept in mind of where we've been going for the last weeks about being whole people and bringing wholeness to marriage that God showed me something. His Holy Spirit did. I've never seen it before. And it was just so jarring to me. I wanted to bring it to you because I believe he showed it to me for us. Because I believe there's a truth contained in that commandment that I missed, and maybe you miss. And again, it's a universal truth. It applies to friendship. It applies to your families. But it is so crucial in marriage. But I just want to point it out to you as we begin our journey together, okay? And it's this. I can only love my spouse as well as I love myself. And again, don't look around. Eyes on me, no elbows. I'll confess, I do not do a good job of loving myself. I don't. I beat myself up. I'm probably my own worst critic. I live with guilt, shame, regret. And that's how I treat myself. That's how I talk to myself. Which means it's how I end up treating my spouse. But if the standard is that we're supposed to love our spouse as we love ourselves, we probably need to get a little better at loving ourselves. And I know when I say loving ourselves, loving yourself, I know that sends off some red flags, right? Like, oh, you know, that's going to produce arrogance. You know, that's going to produce narcissism. But actually, it's not. Because arrogance and narcissism are just simply manifestations of very unhealthy people. Of people who aren't whole. And that arrogance, that narcissism, is their way of asking the world to fill them up. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the outflow of becoming a whole person. It's the outflow of choosing to follow Jesus. Because once we choose to follow Jesus, there is a second crucial choice I have to make and you have to make and we all have to make if we want to become whole people. Okay, we can follow him, but secondly, we have to choose to believe him. We have to believe Jesus. Because Jesus says, all those things you feel guilt and shame about, I died for them. And I came back to life to give you the power to overcome them. Jesus says, I can turn anything to good if you let me. Jesus says, I have given you everything you need to do everything I want you to do in your life. Jesus says, with me, you are enough. You need nothing else. With me, you matter. With me, you are whole. So if we ever want hope of loving someone else as we love ourselves, we have to believe Jesus and what he says about ourselves. We have to believe him, that he's the answer to all the deficits we've been asking other people to fill. We've been asking our career to fill. We've been asking achievement to fill. We've been asking our spouse to fill. We've been asking our children to fill. We've been asking our parents to fill. He's saying, no, 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 no. If you love yourself, you'll be honest with yourself. Number one, be honest that this is what you're looking for. You have a desire to be made complete. You have a desire to be made whole. I gave you that desire. Follow me and believe me when I say I'll satisfy it. And I'm the only one that can satisfy it. Folks, it's not enough to follow Jesus. We got to believe him. We got to believe Jesus when he says he loves us. We have to believe Jesus when he says he has a plan for our life. We have to believe Jesus when he says we are his unique, special creation. We have to believe him when he says there are good things he has planned for us. We have to believe him. Because when we follow him and when we believe him, that's when he starts to fill some of the deficits in our soul. And that is when we begin to feel whole. And there's a key to the wholeness. If we want to be whole, we need the whole picture. We need a clear accounting, a clear understanding of every place in our lives where we're deficient. There's no value in hiding it. There's no value in ignoring it, because eventually we'll blame someone else for it. And so what I believe Jesus wants us to do as we follow him and as we believe him is go on a journey inside ourselves. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, oftentimes this journey requires the help of other people. It did in my life. Oftentimes it requires the help of trained professional counselors who know the questions to ask, who know the issues to look for, who can help us identify all the deficits known and unknown, seen and unseen, felt and unfelt. Because it's only when we have the full and complete picture that, number one, we know what to bring to Jesus, and number two, we discover the goodness of Jesus as he really does begin to just fill and heal all of the different deficits we bring to all relationships, but especially to marriage. And there's a very healthy tool that I've discovered in my life, and I mentioned a moment ago. It's the concept of boundaries. Again, these two men, Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend, they wrote a book called Boundaries, and they made it Boundaries in Marriage. But the basic concept is this. We all get boundaries in the real world. If you own a home, you know there is a boundary. Maybe imaginary, maybe there are stakes, maybe there's a fence between where your property ends and your neighbor's property begins. You can go to the courthouse, you can find it, you can find those boundaries, and those boundaries exist to show who owns what. If it's inside the fence, you own it. If it's outside the fence, your neighbor owns it. Someone else owns it. Here's the way the book, Boundaries in Marriage, talks about the concept of boundaries. It says, boundaries help us determine who is responsible for what. And if we understand who owns what, then we know who must take responsibility for it. Here's why boundaries are so important. I want you to imagine that you, for some reason, got it in your head. Maybe you saw it on TV. Maybe somebody taught you. But you genuinely believe there's a part of your yard that your neighbor should take care of. Right. And week after week, they don't cut that part of the yard. And week after week, you get angrier and angrier and angrier about it. And once every 2 months, you finally go cut it passive-aggressively. I don't know how you would passive-aggressively cut grass, but some of you have figured it out. You just sigh real hard. You glare over as you're cutting the grass. When you see them in public, you can't even make eye contact with them. You're so angry with them. And one day you get out the map, you get out the plat, and you walk it. And you go, oh no, that was my property the whole time. I've been mad at them. I really just needed to cut my grass. See, I'm convinced most of us enter into and go through marriage frustrated with our spouse because they won't take care of our yard. Because to be a whole, complete person, I have to own me. And they have to own them. And yes, the two become one, but they're still a whole complete person, and I'm still a whole and complete person, and I am responsible for me, and they are responsible for them. And I know what some of you are thinking. Please tell me what. Please give me a list. What am I responsible for? What are they responsible for? I need it in writing. Glad you asked, because Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend provide said list. I will warn you in advance, you are not going to like it. You are going to push back hard. You are going to have questions. You are going to want to say, yes, but what about? To that I say, read the book, because I didn't write it. But I'll tell you this, I'm living it. And it's true. And if we want to become the people God wants us to be, if we want to become a whole, healthy people, we have to fully understand what's ours, what belongs to us. Because then we can take that to Jesus. And he can begin to do something about it. I'm just kind of waiting because I'm afraid I'm going to lose you when I read this list. But we'll see what happens, okay? Look at this. Each spouse must take responsibility for the following things: feelings, attitudes, behaviors, choices, limits, desires, thoughts, values, talents, and love. No side eye. You know what this means? Your spouse can't make you feel a certain way. Let me say that again. Your spouse cannot make you feel a certain way because feelings belong to you. That also means they can't make you behave a certain way. Let that sink in for a second. They can't control your attitude or your choices. They don't own your desires. Those are yours. Those belong on your side of the fence, not theirs. What would happen? Let me ask, what would happen to your relationship right now, if you each agreed that you owned, you were personally responsible, you alone were accountable, you alone bear the weight of these things? What would happen? Feels impossible, doesn't it? Yeah, but Trey, you don't get it. See, they did this. And they did this, and so I did this. But there's a problem with that logic, and if you have children, you know it's a problem. Because when someone is mean to your children, what do you say? Well, you don't have to be mean back. Get real quiet. Why is that a concept we expect of our 5-year-olds? But by 5 years into marriage, we throw it out the window. I'll be nice when you be nice. I'll try harder when you try harder. You don't get it. She makes me so angry. Well, actually, I get that you don't like her choices, but according to world-class experts who are basing everything they say in the truth of our Heavenly Father, she can't make you anything. He can't make you anything. Unless you think your neighbor should cut your grass. I told you it was a fun concept, right? What would happen tomorrow if you began to apply what you've learned today? if you began to apply, you know what, I'm the only one who can control how I behave. I'm the only one who can control my attitude. I'm the only one who can control how I feel. I'm the only one who can control my choices. I'm the only one who can control my limits. I'm the only one that can control my desires. Those belong to me. And I don't like the way I feel sometimes. I don't like the way I behave sometimes. I don't like the choices I've made. I don't like some of the desires I have. I don't like those things. What would happen if when those thoughts popped in your head, you remembered, you know what, I'm supposed to become a whole person. And how do I become a whole person? Oh, that's right, I follow Jesus. And I believe Jesus. Which means when I have a desire I don't like, I go to Jesus. Which means when I have an attitude I don't like, I go to Jesus. It means when I have a behavior I don't like, I go to Jesus. When I have a feeling I don't like, I go to Jesus. When I have these things because I own them, and even if I feel like they're causing them, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Jesus. And I'm going to say, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your love. I need your support. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Jesus, I need you to sit me. I need you to guide me to a professional counselor who can help me wrestle with these things, who can help me settle these things. Jesus, that's what I need. I need your help to own my life. You know what happens to all of us when we begin to follow Jesus with our life and when we begin to believe Jesus with our life? It makes it possible to live out the third step of becoming a whole person. See, when we follow Jesus, we believe Jesus. When we let him illuminate everything that belongs to us in our relationships, and we bring them to him, and we say, I need your help. I need a savior. I need the power of a God who can raise the dead. I need you to pour into me love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And boy, do I need self-control. I need your forgiveness. I need your strength. I need your power. You know what he does? He says, sure. I have an unlimited supply. And it's then, as we follow Jesus, as we believe Jesus, we learn to love like Jesus. We don't give love to get back. We give love because it is an overflow of the wholeness our Savior has provided to us. Now, how do we do all this? To be continued. This is where we'll pick up next week. Because there really is a path, there really is a process. But for today, I just want you to spend this week thinking about this idea. I want you to spend this week really just asking God's Holy Spirit to speak truth over you, to speak truth over the property you bring to each relationship, and to fill you with the confidence of this statement. A whole person, that's what we all want to be, a whole person partners with Jesus to take full responsibility for their lives. That's what a whole person looks like. That's what it means to be complete. To partner with your Savior to say, Jesus, show me the fence. Show me all of it. Show me what belongs to me. Show me what I and only I have the power to change, the power to control. Show me all of it in all its overwhelmingness. Show it to me, Jesus, and then assure me that you're going to be with me as we deal with it. And if you forgot what the list is, I want to put it back up because here's the list. We're talking about feelings, attitudes, behaviors, choices, limits, desires, thoughts, values, talents, and love. Our ability to love. Our ability to receive love. Something so simple. Here's my challenge for this list this week for your life. Spend some time asking Jesus, have I given away the responsibility to any of those things in my life? Am I upset at my spouse because they're not controlling my feelings? Am I upset at my spouse because they're not controlling my attitude or my behaviors or my limits or my values? Ask Jesus that. And hey, if you feel really bold and you're both in really good moods, ask your spouse. But spouses, here's the rule. You can only answer if they can answer about you. But if you can, have the conversation. Hey, do you think we swap property? Hey, do you think that fight we've been having over and over and over and over and over, do you think it's because we're each expecting the other person to be responsible for our behaviors? What if we just took that back? What if rather than blaming each other, we turn to Jesus? I know, easier said than done, right? We're only halfway through the series. But that's the whole picture. No new content. That's the picture. For the next 2 weeks, we're just going to simply talk about how to do it. How do we follow Jesus? How do we do this list? How do we become a whole person? How do we follow Jesus daily? How do we believe Jesus? How do we put ourselves in situations? How do we find the right counselors? How do we find the right help so that we can truly write Jesus' truth on our souls so that our deficits can be filled? And as we do those things, man, how do we begin to love each other like Jesus loves us? Because he said the greatest commandment was to love as we love ourselves. But at the end of his ministry, night before he's arrested, he changes the standard. Why? Because he's the Son of God. He says, loving as you love yourself is no longer enough. He says, love as I've loved you. And that requires being whole and healthy in Jesus. And he wouldn't ask it if he wasn't ready to supply it. So this week, just invite him to give you the whole picture. Show you your whole yard. Where's the fence? What have you placed inside it? What have you placed in someone else's? What needs to be in your yard? What needs to belong to you? Just ask him to open your eyes. Make it clear. And next week, we'll pick up right there. And we'll learn how our gracious, loving, patient Heavenly Father not only gives us a plan for wholeness, but a path for wholeness. That's what we'll pick up next week. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much, and whew, we are just so grateful. So grateful for your Son. We're so grateful for the clarity of your word. We're so thankful that in our weakness, you are strong. We are so thankful that you make us healthy and that you make us whole. Father, this week, open our eyes to all the deficits. Open our eyes to the property we've sent away and the ones we need to bring back. Show us what we own. And when we feel overwhelmed, Father, remind us that you're there to lead, to guide, to heal, and to push forward. Father, give us the wisdom to see and the courage to step. Because your love, Father, is the only love that survives. For better or worse. And your love is what we need. We love you, we thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray.